This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Well, hello, everybody. Bill Caskey here.
Brian Neal over here.
And we come at you every Monday morning trying to give you some relief from the monotony of sales.
We do pretty well with that, I think,
I think so.
The most part. Once we get done with this little first part, fun part. Just had an awkward moment in the lobby. We had some people making some noise. I had to go out and tell them to shush. Haven't had to do that in a long time. And then they're adults.
Well, yeah,
it's just awkward, you know. We have to do that.
And we do need an on-air sign.
We really, really do.
Big red flashing sign.
As Bill said, we're here every week, and we'd like to invite you to join our LinkedIn group. We have a LinkedIn group, don't we, on LinkedIn. It's really nice.
Very
there are
active,
a lot of people, very active, some very good people posting very smart things. And it's a LinkedIn Advanced Selling Podcast. If you're a LinkedIn person, please come join us. And if you're not a LinkedIn person, shame on you.
Shame.
Get on LinkedIn. I know I told a story about my friend Rachel last week. This is a little off topic.
Oh, that's your friend, not just listeners.
Friends. Yeah. She has over 4,000 connections on LinkedIn in Denver.
Wow.
She goes, this is how you know you're using LinkedIn the right way. The CEO of one of the major power companies out there, I don't know if it's the gas or electric company, who's a really well-known, big, huge company, sent her a direct message asking her to connect him to the mayor of Denver.
You're kidding me.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's outstanding,
isn't it?
That's an indicator. Yeah.
Speaking of the power of social media, you have to be careful what you put on social media these days, don't you?
You do.
I went to dinner the other night with my wife, and it was our kind of getaway. We really needed just the two of us to go to dinner. And we have four kids at home, right? So we go to Sullivan Steakhouse, our favorite steakhouse in town. It's fantastic. And we get sat in this little kind of private room, not private just to us, but there are probably like five other tables in the room. Guess what we're sitting at the other five tables? Kids at every table.
Oh,
every table. There were four kids at one table. There was a baby crying at the other table. I said, is this some kind of joke? And I'm thinking, you know, Sullivan's isn't a cheap place. So I put on Facebook, who brings their kids to Sullivan's anyway? I said, we're surrounded by kids, and post that up there, right? Then one of my old friends from high school comes walking through the door with his kid. And I had already put it on Facebook. And we saw them like, hey, how you doing?
Did you see it?
And they walked away. Jen said, do you think they'll see your post on Facebook? I'm like, I don't know. Got home. She goes, we took our kid to Sullivan's. Anyway.
That's funny.
Watch what
Hey,
you...
I got a trivia question for you here.
Oh, good. I love trivia.
You know, the Bears and the Bulls, they talk about that on Wall Street. You know, the Bears, obviously, when things look negative, the Bulls. Do you know why it's called the Bears and the Bulls?
Oh, I don't. Hang on. Can I think? Can I guess?
Bears and Bulls. You're a financial
Bears
stock investor.
And Bulls. Bears sit back. Bulls go at. Bears charge only when threatened, when you threaten their babies. I don't know.
Bears, this is what I heard now.
Okay.
When bears attack, they paw down. When bulls attack, they butt up.
Oh,
so bulls
I see.
Are when the market's going up. That's that.
Up.
Do you believe that?
I don't.
Don't you? I didn't look at it on the internet.
That's good.
I figured there's some reason, but I didn't know what it was. So, in absence of me having an answer, I thought that sounded pretty good. Okay, mailbag.
We need some mailbag music, don't we?
We do. Jill, why don't you?
Yeah, Jill, get some mailbag. Write a piece, would you, Jill?
Yeah.
She's good at that.
We had a real quick, this is not a question,
but
we just had a shout out to Nev in Australia. Great podcast. Will now walk away from any deal if there is no compelling need that I find. It saves a lot of time. I supply products through retailers, support them in the field. It's amazing when I say, sounds like you have everything under control. Perhaps we aren't a fit. The person then turns toward me and engages rather than interacting with the reseller with whom she is familiar. What can happen is that we go straight to economics rather than work. Anyway, Nev does a great job of really taking the content, and I think he's bought some products as well, taking the content and really
That's
making
great.
It work.
Very well done. Very exactly what we're trying to teach people to do.
Yeah.
And it's so freeing and refreshing.
It is.
Very good.
Here's another question that we're going to spend most of our time on today.
Yep.
And it says, I'm a new sales associate with Aflac. Should I have said
that? Are we allowed to say that?
Aflac has, 30,000 sales associates, so there's probably 10,000 new at any one time.
Very good marketing campaign.
We were told to talk every month to somebody, even if they have expressed that they were not interested. So I'm assuming he means that they call you, you say I'm not interested. He yep. still is required to contact you every month.
Right.
I understand the majority of sales are made after the first call, but how do you stay on the side of persistence and not harassment, which is a great topic for any of us who make contacts, and whether the person actually comes out and intentionally says, do not contact me, or there's just nothing there at the time.
Yep.
You want to stay persistent in some way.
And absolutely.
I don't think we've ever suggested that you should make one call and then never call people again.
No. And let's talk about that. Can we frame up? Because this gets very, I'm engaged with a brand new client, and I've noticed this. This is about us and me specifically doing a better job of teaching this topic. What I think happens sometimes is people hear us talk about being detached, being okay with the no, and some people take that too literal and too aggressively and almost in a nonchalant manner, not give a crap and go, oh, it's fine. If you want to say no, then fine. I'm going to go on to the next one sort of thing. And no, hear this very loud and clear from us. No, never, ever, ever means forever.
Yeah.
It just means in the present time. In fact, someone can say no to you and you can be okay with it and you can call them tomorrow if you want. The detachment and attachment thing lies in your head and your heart. It has nothing to do, I don't think necessarily, with your behavior. It definitely mirrors it to a point, but you can reset that as you go. So I want people to hear that when we say like stay behind the deal or stay behind people, we just mean slightly behind them no matter where they are on the plus minus continuum, not always negative.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think people take that too seriously sometimes.
I've always said that detachment does not mean disengagement. It doesn't mean to totally disengage with someone. And you know, it used to be back when we started this business, we didn't really have the internet as a vehicle to keep in touch with people and email. So there's only so many newsletters you can send to someone and so many times you can call them each month. But that's all changed now, and I think that may be part of the answer here.
That's right. No doubt about it. Yeah. And we get this question a lot, is what is enough, what is not too much? So let's each kind of give our two cents on advice here. My first answer initially, starting big picture, is I always tell people to trust their intuition. And if you feel like you're being annoying or stalky, then you likely are. And if you don't, then there's a chance you're not. Now you have to, again, check yourself in the mirror. You may be completely in denial or oblivious to something, but most people have a good sense of other people. Go, gosh, you know, I've called this guy, you know, three times in the month. Maybe I should take a break here, right? Especially if he said no. So one thing is to trust yourself. Now the second thing behind trusting yourself is I don't have magic for the rule of the frequency of contact and follow-up. What I do encourage people to is to have their own. And so I should be able to ask any of our podcast listeners that hear this episode to say, what's your new personal rule for frequency of contact? And someone says, you know, I do two contacts in the week. If I don't hear anything, then I do another one, boom.
Yeah.
Or every third Thursday, I call the people. Whatever it is, you've got your own rule that you follow. And it's a good little to-do item for people to come up with their own cadence.
I like that. I think that there's also this idea of, you know, we talked on the last, I think, two or three podcasts ago about this cycle of how people decide, how people buy. And one of the first parts is they become aware of you.
Yeah.
They become aware of the issue that they might have. They start to comprehend the seriousness of the issue. And so there's a cycle that people go through. Some people go through that cycle very quickly.
Yep.
So when you call, you know, you ever heard, you called at just the right time, Brian.
Correct.
Well, that means that they've already gone through part of the process, and you just happen to be riding the wave of the process they're on. But a lot of times when you're making cold calls, especially, and I suspect that this fellow's making cold calls, is there is no wave to ride.
Correct.
You're starting from total scratch. And so that my question to you would be, what are the things that you would send or what would be the what would the prospect have to consume in information to get them to get that wave started?
That's very, very good.
And so maybe it's a white paper, or maybe it's just a short email that says, you know, I realize you said you're not interested, but and I'll respect that. Here are three reasons that people eventually come to us and come around to this way of thinking, or here's three things I'd like you to think about in the next couple of months.
Yeah. Here's this bleeds right into our theme this year of becoming an expert and positioning ourselves as an expert. When I teach this subject in class, it's much more detailed, obviously, than it's going to be here in this podcast. I call this thing, this is your personal campaign, and you have what we call campaign elements. And these are the things, when you ask yourself the question, what do I say when I've got nothing to say? These are the campaign elements, the things that you pull from to do that. And so you have to do some research. It takes some work up front to do this. The good thing is you don't have to write. People get freaked out when you say, well, write a white paper. They go, God, I went to a state school. I can't even spell whimsical or whatever you said last week.
Wistful.
Wistful, that too.
Whimsical, I can spell.
I cannot. Uh-huh. And so you can search for these things. And what you search for is you search for issues or challenges and problems that other people have. So, for instance, in this case, someone says you can probably find something, some buyer's guide to insuring your family. Right. Yeah. And it's not Aflac branded at all. It needs to be generic because that says to your people you're sending it to, I care about you and this topic in general, not about me. Once you start to do that and feed people with valuable things, you will start to move to a place in their minds that go, okay, these interactions with this guy are valuable. This dude sends me, you know, good stuff.
That's right. That's right.
And so you go look for that. You look for things to your point about the white paper, or you look for blog posts, or you look for connections to make for people. Mm-hmm. So if there's an Aflac person calling on me and they understand my business, if that person wants to forge the relationship a bit, one of the things they can do is keep their eye and ear open and say, hey, I met this friend who owns a business. I think you two should meet, right? Mm-hmm. And that you just insert yourself into someone's life that way with good intention. That is always a really good way to stay in touch.
Yeah.
The touches are valuable then.
Yeah, so the rule there is to somehow stay in the game.
Yes.
Stay in the
no
game.
Doubt.
And that could mean a lot of the things that you just talked about.
Yeah.
So what's the answer to our friend at Aflac then?
His specific question is what?
His specific question is my management.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a whole different issue. My management has told me to talk to someone every month, even if they have expressed they were not interested.
Yeah, good question. I've got an idea for upfront.
Oh, yeah.
To say to somebody, so let's say you and I are talking, and you're like, you know, Brian, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm probably not a good prospect for you right now. I might say to you then at that point, what's this guy's name?
Nathan.
Nathan. Mm-hmm. Nathan might say to you, hey, I appreciate that. I tend to, over time, like to build the relationships and keep in touch with people. Would you be totally offended if every once in a while I dropped either a line to you or sent you something that I thought was valuable either to your business or whatever? And if not, no big deal. Simply just I like to create the network and try to be helpful if I can. I'm always looking for connections for people. I always look for things that can help your business. So if you don't mind, usually it's electronic through email and that sort of thing. Maybe an occasional coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
I might say that to somebody and just ask permission to do that first. Then I'm not bombarding them and they don't feel uncomfortable with it.
Yep.
Or they tell me no. If you approach it that right way, again, with the connections and knowledge and information, and then do that, I think they'll
absolutely
be way more 80% open.
80% of people will say, sure. They can always delete it, but you might hit something that really applies to them in the moment.
Yeah.
So get permission is the...
Yeah, that was the first thing I do. Yeah, bring it up. When you get that no, bring it up and ask if it's okay if you periodically stay in touch.
Yeah.
Because you like to make connections for people and to be helpful down the road.
Yeah.
And you also know that there's a timing element to it, and you just want to be around in the case that the timing is better.
I think my second idea for him would be picking up on something you said, and you talked about the inventory. What was it? The inventory or
campaign elements.
And really, what you're doing there is it's almost like you're calendaring out. If your manager is saying, look, every month you got to make contact, then have 12 different campaign elements.
That's it. Yep.
And each month, bring out another one.
That's great.
I mean, you can come up with those, spend a few hours, come up with them, and now you've got it all set.
Yeah. The rule about the campaign elements is they cannot be self-serving.
Yeah.
They have to be generic. You can't send Aflac brochures
every month.
No, cannot do that. It'll blow up in your face. You'll annoy the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
And then I think the last piece of advice I would give on the, what do I do? And I'm all for people taking management. Obviously, Aflac's a big company. I'm assuming they do well, and they've got a process that they follow. You still have to be your own person.
Yeah.
You have to take advice and guidance from your manager and your leader. And in the end, it's your show to run, especially in that business, because I think that's kind of like running your own show there.
It is,
your own territory. You got to sleep well at night and know that what you're doing is going to do what you need it to do to provide for yourself and your family.
Yeah, good. If you have a question and you'd like to ask us and get our professional opinion, go to listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. Also, go to our LinkedIn group. Got hundreds of members there. Advanced Selling Podcast, is that it?
Advanced Selling Podcast, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, LinkedIn. It's a highly technical name.
Highly technical.
Advanced Selling Podcast group.
Out. Yeah. But make sure you join that group, and there are questions. There's always threads of questions and advice going on, and some really good ones, too.
Good.
So make sure you keep in touch with us that way, and also you can go to advancedsellingpodcast.com and see the archives of past articles, and we've got some good shows coming up, so keep on the list.
Beautiful.
Okay, see you next time.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to iTunes.